Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday evening. I'd like to welcome you to the show and say that it must be kind of cold out there. A lot of the panelists are not in yet, but I'm sure they're coming in. But Darius is in. I'd like to say hello, Darius. How are you?
Good evening, David. I'm doing absolutely fantastic, man. God is great. Life is good. Thank you for asking, sir. How are you?
I'm great. It's just you and I, so I guess we get to have our own little show today. I have a question for you, though. You know, the prolific rapper and advocate for equity, Snoop Dogg has had a recent change of tune when it comes to former President Donald Trump. In a new interview, Snoop Dogg, 52, says Trump's praises after he sang Trump's praises after a long history of condemning the former president and his supporters. Donald Trump, he said, he ain't done nothing wrong to me. He has done only great things for me. He pardoned Michael Harris, Snoop Dogg told the Sunday Times. So I have nothing but love and respect for Donald Trump. What do you think about that?
Man, I think Snoop better get somebody else to start his cars for him before he... Man, because... When black people, man, decide that they're going to support or even have, not even support, but just have something kind to say about Donald Trump, man, I mean, they bring the wolves out, dude. They're, I don't know if you know it, but not only Snoop Dogg, but you also had Ice Cube. We know we had Kanye come out a while back, you know, in support of Trump. We also had Meek Mill that came out last week or a couple weeks ago. So I think what's happening is black people are seeing that the Democratic policies are adversely affecting our community. They're also seeing that the Democrats don't really have a plan for the advancement of black people economically, or educational-wise. Their only job is to have black people continually express grievances and how they're being oppressed and discriminated against. And, you know, that's getting tired now. People are tired of hearing, you know, them play the race card and try to use black people to conjure up some kind of false sense of anger and oppression just to get their votes. But, you know, when we vote for them, we vote for Democrats, especially in the inner cities, the situations are only getting worse. And you see what's happening with the borders, and now black people are seeing that, you know, we're not even the number one minority priority now. Now it's illegals. It's, you know, the illegal immigrants who have precedence. And I think Michael said one time, excuse my French, but they're going to be the new niggers, and they're replacing black people. So that, along with what you said, David, is very interesting, because I also heard that Donald Trump is receiving the most support from black males than any other Republican in the history of the party.
Well, that's very interesting. Don, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. As you know, I'm a football fan, so I was watching my Baltimore team get beat by Kansas City. I'm just waiting on those Detroit Lions to come on, and I'm a Detroit Lions fan, so today is football Sunday, and I heard Darius talking about Donald Trump. Man, how can a guy pay a woman that kind of money? I mean, ain't no love in the world with that kind of money. That's crazy.
Sean,
you'll never see that money, Don.
Well, let me tell you why he was having that conversation. It's because the rapper Snoop Dogg has now, in an interview, saying Trump's praises after a long history of condemning the former president. He says, he ain't done nothing wrong to me. He has done only great things for me. He pardoned Michael Harris, Snoop Dogg told the Sunday Times today. So I have nothing but love and respect for Donald Trump, and I will vote for him on the next election. What are your thoughts on that,
Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? And then, you know, and then we got Scott telling him that he loves him. I told you last week that Scott was positioning himself. Didn't I tell you that?
Yeah.
he positioned himself. He might be the nominee for vice president, and that's what he's signed for.
That's what he's working for. Yeah.
So, well, man, I tell you, the world is going crazy.
That's true. All right, let's move on a little bit. We're always into politics, but let's talk about something that might go national, and it's happening in Los Angeles or in California, and it's happening in Beverly Hills. It seems like the state and the city of Los Angeles has now blocked stars and their homes up in Beverly Hills from doing any kind of improvements on their property because there is no affordable housing in Beverly Hills. So they have blocked it and said you can no longer try to increase the luxury of your residence, and you're no longer allowed to customize or upgrade or do anything on your home because there's a lack of affordable housing in Beverly Hills, and as such, you're now under restriction. Now, you know, whatever happens in California, sometimes it goes across the United States. So in our areas, do you see, like in Miami, Don, do you see, like, you know, they would restrict the areas there along the beach because there's no affordable housing along the beach for sure.
Hey, David, we're seeing it right now, man. Let me tell you something. Miami is the Dubai of the United States. It's crazy, man. I mean, you can't even get a three-bedroom or – let me back it up. You can't even get a two-bedroom house in Miami for any less than $750,000. A 3-2 costs over $1 million. And last year, that was not the case. But you got all these foreigners coming in here and these European people and the Russians coming in, and they're buying up property, and a lot of Caribbean people buying up property with two and three families living in the house. It is outrageous. We just moved to Coral Springs, and man, I've never seen nothing like the real estate industry explode in my life like it is in South Florida right now.
Wow. What about you, Darius? What about in Georgia? Do you think that would happen in Georgia also?
it would never happen in Georgia as a whole, because we don't live in the Union of Soviet Socialist State of California. You're right. As so California goes, as so the nation, once upon a time when California was considered a beacon of you know, economic freedom or whatever for an opportunity. Now people are fleeing California. So, you know, I know Don talks about his governor all the time, but he needs to thank God every day that he doesn't have Gavin Newsom as his governor that's imposing on his personal freedoms, which California seems to do more and more of every day, even as they see that people are leaving in droves. They can't even get a U-Haul truck because they're trying to get out of there so fast. So, no, I'm not at all surprised. They're just going to keep going and keep finding more and more ways to infringe upon the freedoms and the rights of citizens. I understand that there may be some housing needs there that need to be addressed, but I don't think imposing on the personal freedoms and property rights of those who already have property is the solution.
But you don't see it in Georgia, but in Atlanta, Hemant Park is just like the Beverly Hills of California. As a matter of fact, they have here neighborhood NPUs, neighborhood partner unions, and they say what happens in their neighborhoods, and they have kept out anybody. The houses there, $1 million to $3 million, $5 million homes, and they don't want anybody in their area who can't afford them, or who there's no housing there for anybody that doesn't have under $1 million to spend. So you don't see that
right.
happening. I think it could happen.
No, so. It could, but I don't think it ever would happen statewide in Georgia. You may have some communities, like Don was saying, like they have Miami and Florida. That will never be statewide because Florida is a red state. It'll never be statewide in Georgia because Georgia is a red state. But what I will tell you too, also, David, is there are parts of Inman Park, there are parts of Buckhead, where you see these apartment buildings going up, and you may say, wow, these apartments are, you know, a one-bedroom apartment is $4,000 a month to rent. But trust me, in those apartment buildings, there are a certain percentage of units that are set aside for low-income housing.
Not in Inman Park.
You may
Inman
not be
Park.
Able to tell.
No, that's not true. In Inman Park,
no,
they just recently stopped the building of the homes because they did not want lower-income people in their area. They just stopped it.
Right.
The NPU stopping it, and so they're now blocking anybody who can't afford $500,000 or more, one bedroom, not in their area.
Exactly. I'm saying the homes, yes. I'm saying, but when you look at the apartment units that are coming up in the area, like they may not be in that exact community, but they're within 5 miles. There are apartment complexes that are in the area where they have income credit units for affordable housing. And you can't, you can't really blame the homeowners, because if I build a $1 million house in Inman Park, or I bought a house that's worth $1 million, I don't want someone next to me building a $100,000 house. That's going to tear up my property values. And so now, it's not fair to the homeowners who have built that neighborhood up and built the value into what they're doing. So I totally agree with that. You have to maintain property values, but at the same time, there may not be any in that vicinity, I mean, in that particular neighborhood, but as long as there is affordable housing in the area, then I don't think the poor are being disaffected by that or disenfranchised.
I think you need to do some research on Memorial Drive and Euclid, of the gentleman who was trying to build a apartment complex there and was going to let in people, and how, and the apartments were only going to go for a couple of thousand a month, and the Inman Park people got together to stop it, went down to court. Matter of fact, that's in court right now, because the Inman Park people have decided they don't want that there, and they're complaining, and they're saying that would have too many people in the neighborhood, and they don't want people in their neighborhood, especially those who are low income. But anyway, we will move on. What, Darius, you got something you want to bring to the table?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this. We're having constant conflict with the Houthis in the Red Sea, attacking our ships, attacking commercial vessels from the U.S. or coming to the U.S. And we know that it's that they're Iranian backed. We know for a fact that that the Houthis are terrorists, and we know where they're getting their supplies from. And we're making these strikes, but we're not really deterring them because they continue to attack. So I'm just wondering why a military power like the United States, and I think we've also had some other countries join in, they don't have the resolve to take out a rebel force like the Houthis. And this to me is all more of an example of why Joe Biden has made us weaker on the world stage. I think you have to be more aggressive when you get these attacks, and you can't do what they call measured strikes or measured attacks. You gotta take these people out. And I was just wondering if you guys think that America is taking the best route to deter the Houthis, and why do you think they're holding, not being as aggressive as they could?
Darius, can you educate us more about the Houthis? Because this is new to me. I'm not really knowledgeable of that.
Yeah. So they are, they were designated by Donald Trump as a terrorist group. And they are basically, now they've almost become pirates, but they're not really hijacking anything. They're just attacking U.S. vessels. And they're Iranian backed. And they claim now that what they're doing is they're attacking these U.S. vessels because of America's support for Israel. They're a Muslim group. They're not well organized, but they have some military power because they're getting their weaponry from Iran. And this has been going on for probably about maybe 6 months now, where they've been firing missiles, rockets at our vessels. And for most part, the U.S. has not retaliated. But just recently, last week, I think they had like about 4 or 5 different attacks. And they fired some missiles and maybe destroyed some of their warehouses and some of the storage facilities for where they keep their weapons. But they haven't taken out any Houthis. And they've been very, very reluctant to use the full military might of the U.S. and just take these guys out altogether.
Why don't they use the full military might to do that?
Well, that was my question to you guys. I got a reason why. I mean, you know, I could speculate. You know, I just think that Joe Biden and the people that are advising him, I think they're weak. I think they don't want to show the full strength of the military because they don't want to be frowned upon on the world stage as, hey, these guys are unorganized and they're not a government, a state-sponsored military, and so we don't want to look as if we're the oppressor. The same reason why they tucked tail and ran from the Taliban in Afghanistan. I don't know if you guys know it, but we have evacuated, I think, 5 different embassies around the world because we've been attacked by rebels, by Muslim rebels. And that's never happened before, and the press is not really reporting it because they don't want to show the weakness of Joe Biden. But I'm telling you guys, Joe Biden has made us weaker on the world stage, and these guys are constantly trying the U.S. and poking the bear, and we will not retaliate. We just will not, not with any kind of force.
Well, you know, I wish Michael was on this call because I've been getting a lot of information from the political scene. And you know and I know that public opinion to 60% does not want to see the two presidential hopefuls on the Democratic and the Republican Party run, thinking of Donald Trump and Biden. 60% of the United States does not want to see that. So I heard, and this is a rumor, that by September, August of September, that there will be a change on the Democratic side. Gavin Newsom will be the candidate that the Democratic Party puts up to run for the president of the United States. I don't know how true that is, but I heard it from two reputable sources, and they want to do it that way because they do not want him to run or the possibility of Kamala Harris becoming president of the United States. And that is what I heard from some very credible sources.
Unfortunately, Michael is on his way to Atlanta, and he said his flight was delayed, and he's landing here at 7 o'clock, so he'll be landing as soon as we get off the air.
Okay. Make sure you bring that up next week, and let's discuss that, because it really sounded credible, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, David. Darius, what do you think?
I've also heard that before. I heard that a while back, that the plan was to maybe bring Gavin Newsom in at the convention. And but I think after that debate that he did with Sean Hannity, and they saw the how your governor, DeSantis, just really destroyed him in a debate. I think they kind of pulled back from that, because if you notice, you're not seeing as much of Gavin Newsom as you did before that debate. So I did hear that, Don, and I do think at one time that was the plan. However, I don't think it is now. But I've also heard murmurings of Michelle Obama showing up at the convention as well. I just don't think that Joe Biden is willing to go down quietly. And that's the issue. Like, they want to do it. They want to put someone else in there, but they want to do it in a way that does not discredit or dishonor Joe Biden or Kamala. And so I don't know if there's a way that they can actually do that without having that happen. Which is why I've heard people saying that Michelle Obama is a viable solution, because what it does is you're taking a black woman to replace Joe Biden, but also it does not look bad on Kamala Harris because it's another black woman stepping in. But I just don't see either one of them going, stepping aside quietly and walking away into the night. So I don't believe that's going to happen, Don. Guys may want it to.
So have you ever seen or heard of anything of that nature happening at a convention?
No, I don't think it's ever happened. But, you know, we've got some strange things going on now. I've never seen a president with, you know, 100 charges of criminal indictments either. So, you know, never seen a president's home raided by the FBI. So, you know, this is a strange political time that we're living in, man. So I don't put anything past these folks, and I certainly wouldn't bet any of my hard-earned money on anything right now.
Man, let me ask you this. Donald Trump was sued, and he's going to appeal that suit. But can you imagine, man, excuse the language, but I don't think any sexual relationship is worth that kind of money in the world. I mean, how did that even get to that point? that kind of money. I mean, that's mind-boggling to me. If I was in the hood, I'd say it a different way.
So David, can I elaborate on this a little bit?
Do.
Okay. So, Don, this is the even craziest part about it, right? And this is to show you why people need to stop watching CNN and MSNBC, because I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and what I'm about to tell you, they didn't even know. And I venture to bet that you don't know. This woman, Donald Trump claims he never even met her personally. Like, he doesn't even remember meeting her. He says, and I think he said this on a town hall at CNN, this was probably about maybe 6 months ago. He said that the lady was at an event he was at. She claimed at a department store, grand opening, she claimed that he took her in the dressing room and in a public place with cameras everywhere and the press everywhere, he assaulted her in a dressing room of a department store. Okay. Says it never happened. No one can verify her story. Now, what happened is Donald Trump didn't get convicted of sexual assault because there was no proof. Now, this is the really, really crazy part about it, Don. He came out and called her a liar. He said some stuff that would insinuate that she was, I guess, for lack of a better word, say a little bit loose. she was promiscuous, okay? And he called her a couple names. So she sued him for defamation and won the defamation case. So here's this woman accusing him of sexual assault. There's no proof, no evidence that he sexually assaulted her. And then she comes back and says, well, you defamed my character. Which is crazy, because what can be more of a defamation than accusing someone of rape? So if anything, she defamed his character. So to show you how crooked the courts are and how much of a disdain they have for Donald Trump, they awarded this woman an unimaginable sum of money based on a lie, based on something where they have absolutely no evidence.
But did he pay it? Did he pay that money at that
time? No, he didn't pay it. He'll never pay it. He won't pay it because he's appealing it. And there's no judge in his right mind that's going to award that. Even if it happened, she can't prove that she's been defamed to and harmed to that extent where she deserves that kind of money. No one even knows who she is. So how can her character be harmed to the tune of almost $100 million? That's absurd. But this goes to show you how much they hate Donald Trump and how far they're willing to go to do anything to harm him.
All right, gentlemen. Don, I know that you have a significant attachment to Michigan. And right now, the black male voters in Michigan are increasingly frustrated with President Biden and the Democratic Party, calling the millions of dollars the administration has sent to Ukraine a slap in the face. They say if you can send $800 million to Ukraine, you can't tell us you can't facilitate the student loan situation whatsoever. The gentleman named Demar Bias, who lives in Pontiac, Michigan, told the Washington Post student loans, homelessness, some of that could have been eradicated, but then we sent the money overseas. If that's a slap in the face from the administration, when you watch billions go over to other countries and there's no resources for people right here, another president is needed. What do you think Don, from Michigan?
That is the sentiment among a lot of friends of mine in Michigan, and they are totally disturbed about his he needs to tell America what he's done for Black America, because Black America is who put him in office. When he left Carolina, it turned his whole political career around. And he has never done anything of any significance. And like you just stated, a lot of my friends are saying the same thing, and he's in trouble in Michigan in particular because of the Arab situation. Now, you know Detroit is Arab country. I mean, the Muslims really are dominant in Detroit. They are upset like you wouldn't believe. The only strong thing that he's got in Michigan that he is hanging his hand on is the UAW situation when he stood up on the picket line and he's got the UAW voters. But the UAW is not as strong as it used to be. It used to be if you didn't have the UAW support, you didn't even come close to being the president. But now it's not as strong as it is. It was, rather. This is going to be a very interesting November. I'm going to tell you that. It's going to be interesting. In lieu of the things we talked about earlier about the change of the guard, 60% of the people in the United States don't like the two candidates that we have. The possibility of an independent coming in is very possible. It's going to be crazy. I've never seen it like this. And I've been following politics since I was in high school, and I've never seen it like this.
Yeah. All right. This is a very January 28th is a very noteworthy day. Things happened on January 28th. I remember in 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded after 73 seconds in flight, killing all seven of the Americans on board. And that was a disaster. It really shocked the nation. On this day in 1943, the U.S. 8th Air Force launched bombing offense over Nazi Germany. So this is a very, 27, 28, just lots of things happened. But do you remember, do you remember when the Challenger exploded? Do you remember, and then after that, it seems that our space program has slowed down, way down. In the future, do you think we should speed up the space program again because of the way everyone's moving in, the number of people in the world is just keep increasing and increasing. And at one time, it was a lot of conversation about going to the moon or Mars or something and building a place where people can go. And it seems that millionaires are now catching up flights with the ones going now just to take a ride and see what it looks like. But do you think it's something we should get back into? Or do you think maybe it's better that we pause it for a while? What are your thoughts on that, Darius?
I think it's a huge waste of money and time and effort to explore us moving to any other planets in this universe. It'll never happen. Never, ever, ever happen. Not through human effort anyway. It may happen supernaturally. But we'll never go to another planet. Now, am I in favor of space exploration for scientific purposes? Absolutely, because we've seen that space exploration has brought us some great advancements in terms of science and products and goods. But I don't think we should speed it up or invest any more money in it, because now we see that the private sector, with Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, we see that they have made advancements in like a quarter of the time that it took the U.S., the government, to do it because of the, bureaucracy and the red tape. So I think we should continue to encourage and incentivize the private sector in terms of space travel and space exploration. But I don't think the United States as a government, I'm not saying we should abandon it or withdraw from it, but I don't think we should invest any more or accelerate our investments in the science program, our space program.
Okay, Don, what are your thoughts?
Darius, I agree with you 150%. man has always tried to venture into things that they don't understand or can't control. And we wasted a lot of money in that. And we haven't really learned how to take care of the earth. I mean, we've destroyed the earth dramatically. And the scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and everything that dwells within. It didn't say Mars is the world. It didn't say Jupiter is the world. I mean, come on. I mean, the money that we waste as a federal government on things that we can't control is amazing. David, you just spoke of the money that we sent over to Ukraine and other countries and Israel. I mean, why don't we learn how to take care of home? That's what bothers me. That bothers me immensely. I see people down here in South Florida in the streets that are hungry, nowhere to stay, in the richest country in the world. It shouldn't be. It should not be.
All right.
Don, I want to piggyback, David, on what Don said, because
okay.
This also ties into something that he said earlier when he was talking about when you were talking about, you know, the student loan situation, us giving money to Ukraine. But Don, you also, David and I were talking about before you got in here about blacks, the black support for Donald Trump and the Republican Party. All of that ties into what you're saying, because black people are seeing that Democrats don't have an America first mentality anymore. It's about, like you said, Ukraine and foreign aid to foreign countries and spending money on things like global warming, which spending more money on that and not focusing on the here and the now and the needs of the people right now. You know, and you got homeless veterans in the streets, and yet you wanna spend money on buying solar panels and batteries from the Chinese and enriching their government as they continue to build power plants. But all of these things, Don, are reasons why the black male support is leaning more toward the Democrat. And it sounds, I mean, the Republican. And from the way you sound, it looks like you might even be considering getting on the Trump train, because if these are some of the issues and grievances you have, you need to come on over to the right side, my brother.
Well, you know, I've always been an independent, and I like a lot of things that Donald Trump represents. He thinks like a businessman, and that's what I like about him. He thinks like a businessman and not a politician, and that was the biggest asset I saw with him. But what really makes me afraid to go wholehearted into Donald Trump's ideology is this phrase, "I'll be a dictator." And if we give him a day of being a dictator, he'll get used to it and he'll make it a lifestyle. And after going through the presidency for 4 years and having the taste of that power of being the most popular man in the world and the richest country in the world, and then losing the presidency like he lost it, it's going to be very interesting. This man is going to be super powerful. I mean, super powerful if he gets a shot at the presidency again. It's going to be a totally different world, because it's going to give him the ability to do things that he wish he would have done. He's learned the game. He's learned where all the dead bodies are buried. It's going to be very interesting. I mean, we're in for a ride. You better get ready. Fasten your seat belts.
All right. Anything on that, Jerry's?
Well, yeah, I've heard the media tried to frighten the American people by saying, oh, Donald Trump is going to become a dictator. Donald Trump, you know,
incited an insurrection. He's going to try to take over. He's never going to leave. It's if you think about it logically, Don, and you're a logical guy. You're very pragmatic, and if you know the United States Constitution and you know all the checks and balances that we have in place and the stopgaps, there is absolutely. And Donald Trump is known for basically goading people. So he will say things because he knows that that's what will get people excited. He said, yeah, I'll be a dictator, because he knows the media has been calling him that, and he said it in jest. He said, I'll be a dictator on day one, and what he meant was by executive fiat and by signing executive orders. But you know, Don, if you think about it logically, there is no way at all for not just Donald Trump, but in the United States, for anybody to ever become a dictator and take over the U.S. government, it's just not possible. You know, that happens in third world countries where you have the prime minister get with the leader, or the general of some banana republic military, and they come in and they take over, you know, the presidential suite or whatever, and keep themselves in office. There, the way the U.S. Constitution works, that's basically impossible. And for anyone to say that Donald Trump will be a dictator if he gets in, he'll never leave, is really not even someone that you should even take seriously. Because I'm waiting on the person. The next time someone says this on the news or one of the pundits or talking heads, I'm waiting on someone to say, please explain to us, if he were going to do that, how would that happen? How would he go about it? Because there is no means available for him to do that. Our military is not controlled by one person. Neither one of our military forces are controlled by one person. And the Capitol Police does not work with the military, and they're an independent agency. And so is the Secret Service. So each one of these are separate but equal powers of the government. One works with the legislature, and one works with the executive branch. There's no way at all that they all can collude and come together and unite behind one man and subvert the Constitution. So if that's your only reason for not wanting to vote for Donald Trump, then you need to go ahead and get your brother, because that will never happen, can never happen in the U.S.
Terry, well, who's in charge of the military in the United States?
The President of the United States is in charge of the military. But the way the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the way
it is. It is. And then you said that the military isn't controlled by one person, but actually it is. And then the people who would run the military are answer to the President of the United States, and they're at the Pentagon, generals and things like that. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying there is possibilities out there.
Okay. So let me explain to you how the UCMJ works, okay?
I know how it works.
He's in charge. Okay. So he's in, right. You're military, right? Prior military.
Yes.
So he's in charge. He's in charge of the U.S. military as the executive, as the head of the executive branch, right? But the military is confined to the Constitution. And so if any orders come to any, if any officer gives a command to any member of the military, and if that command is outside of the U.S. Constitution, so if he gives an unlawful order and you carry it out, then you, by law, under the UCMJ, could be court-martialed as well, because even though you were ordered to do so, you carried out an unlawful order. You're sworn to protect and uphold the U.S. Constitution first and foremost. And remember the part about that. It says against enemies both foreign as well as domestic. So even though he's the head, each officer, each commander of each branch, of each division, of each military command is bound by the United States Constitution first and foremost. And any directive or order given out by any, not just the President of the United States, but by any officer, has to be in compliance with the U.S. Constitution.
Darius,
so the president cannot usurp.
Who puts those officers in place? It's the president of the United States who makes generals and first general of the Army, general of the Navy, and general of the Air Force. It's the president of the United States. So I'm saying it can happen. I mean, it's unlikely it would happen in the United States, but there are possibilities, and I think that's what some people are looking at.
Yeah, it's not even a possibility, though, David. It can't. It's no way. It's impossible for it to happen, because even though the president appoints, he appoints generals of the Army and the Navy and the different branches. They have to be recommended to him. He can't just hand select who he wants to be. These people are pushed up the ranks, and then he's given nominations or he's given recommendations from other officers. So the president doesn't just go in and handpick. He can't pick you off of the street and say, David, you're going to be the general of the Army because you're his best friend.
He can't pick a military person that is a general or something who has worked with him in the past and make him in charge. He can do that. Running for office, those are the people that try to, make sure that he is in touch with them. So when he gets in office, he will elect them or make sure that they stay in position, at high position. So, I mean, it's long term, and it's probably something that's very difficult, but that's how it happens in the other countries. I mean, because it can happen, but it would have to be very broadened and deep down and deeper than we're talking about it to happen here in the United States.
Absolutely, because we have something called a chain of command in the military. So you know how many links you would have
you don't follow the chain of command, what happens? If you're the general and you tell the lieutenant colonel to do something and he doesn't do it, what happens? He's excluded from the military. Put him out. He's fired.
No, that's not what happens. If you tell him to do something that's unlawful according to the U.S.
If he doesn't follow the orders of command, you're put out. You could even be sent to military court. You can actually be put in jail if you don't follow the orders of the lead of the military, and you're in the military.
Not if the order is unlawful, David.
You can't
if
say
the order is unlawful and
if you don't know. You've never been in the military, have you, there, Darius?
I did 10 years in the Army, sir. I know there's something called the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
If you didn't follow the orders of the person that was in charge of you and his boss, what would happen to you?
David, if there were unlawful orders.
You don't
remember now, there are people that came back.
You can't tell the person who was in charge of the military that is not the law. You can't do that. That is not something that happens.
You can.
Yeah,
that's why they have things called court marches.
On your way out the
door. So you have a right to be heard. You have a right to a court martial. And when you go to the court martial, you present your case to the court and you tell them, I did not follow this order because according to Uniform Code of Military Justice, this order is unlawful.
Together. Your boss, the leaders are the ones who put the court martials are recommended by the officers in charge, not by the person who is not the officer in charge.
That is very true.
And so the court martial will not happen if the guy who is trying to get you to do something and he doesn't recommend it, it will never happen.
Okay, so you do you not remember I went to the people that came from Vietnam that went to military went to Camp Fort Leavenworth, got in prison because they gave orders to firebomb these villages of civilians. They followed unlawful orders given to them by their commanders. They went to Fort Leavenworth after Vietnam. Do you remember those cases?
Yes. And do you remember
okay, so what I'm telling you is, my point My point is those orders were unlawful, and you as a soldier, you do not have to carry out an unlawful order that's not in compliance with the Constitution or the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
In the court, it was that.
And if you do,
those were not the orders. Those were what their was. That was what they understood were the orders, but the orders were written, and those were not the orders, and that's why they got into all that trouble.
Right, because they were unlawful. The orders were given to them, maybe not by the top down, but it was given to them by a ranking officer.
You know what's very dangerous about a lot of countries are people who can't understand how things work and make up all these stories and try to make it exact, make it the reason why things can't work. Anyway, mm-hmm. Let's move on. Don, do you have something you would like to bring to the table?
I wish you guys would continue because I'm learning an awful lot. I've never been in the military, but hearing you two veterans talk about the military and the rules and regulations is new to me.
Wow. Okay. A lot of people outside of the military do not understand the military at all. They don't understand how it works. They only understand what has been told to them. But it's very technical, very, very, very tight written and rules, and the interpretation of the rules is very wide, unfortunately. All right.
There's so many checks and balances for things to run up the ranks that it's and then you have to have them. You have to have all of the military heads be in collusion as well at the same time in order for something like that to be pulled off. So even if you could control one branch of the military, which is damn near impossible with all of the different chains of command, even though you have one general of the army and one secretary of defense, they all have to be in compliance with the laws of each command and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So the president can't give a directive or an order, or a general can't give an order, or even a captain or a lieutenant, they can't give an order that is in direct opposition to the UCMJ or the Constitution. And if you carry out that order, then you're guilty as well.
They can give the order. The problem is you don't have to carry it out, but then again, you have to answer to that person, and that person will then send you to court. Anyway, it's a long story. All right, Don, I'm sorry. Do you have something else you want to bring to the table?
You guys have covered all the things I wanted to bring to the table. I tell you what, I am really watching this presidential situation. Do you think that she's going to back down and let Donald Trump have it, the Republican nomination, or is she going to fight it to the end?
What are your thoughts on that, Darius?
I don't think she's going to back down just yet, Don, because Nikki Haley has a lot of money from Never Trumpers. So there are a lot of people, both Republican and Democrat, that despise Donald Trump, and they're hoping that they know that she can't beat him in the general primaries. But what they're hoping is that she can stay in long enough that they can give her just enough money to keep her afloat, that maybe one of these charges that are against him will somehow handicap him to the point where he loses support, or will hurt him deep enough that she gets to take away some of his support. But no, I don't think she's going to stay until the end, because the longer she stays in, the worse it's going to look for her and in terms of her political future. You got to understand, she's still a fairly young woman, so. And Donald Trump can only serve 4 years. So these guys are positioning themselves to be able to run again in 2028. And if they do anything that's off-putting to any of Donald Trump's supporters, they will not be able to gain those people in 2028 when they run again. So she's going to stay in there for a little while. She's going to lose badly in her home state of South Carolina, which is going to look very bad for her. But if she angers his supporters, she's going to not only hurt herself in this election, but she will long term. So eventually she'll get out. I'm thinking by Nevada, she'll go ahead and check out, or Nevada. she'll go ahead and get out of the race. But Nikki Haley is very formidable because the polls show that a one-on-one election against Joe Biden, that she would win by double-digit points almost, which is better than Donald Trump fares against her in the polls.
Yeah, that's the reason why I asked that question, because they predicted she would win. Now, do you think that Donald Trump will select Scott as his vice president? He's African-American, and he said he loved him. What do you think?
Yeah, it's looking like that to me right now. I thought about that. He says he already knows who his VP is going to be. So he's already made that determination. And when he said that, I initially thought it was going to be Nikki Haley. And there's still an outside chance. But I'm looking at her. I'm looking at Carrie Lake out of Arizona, who's running for senator of Arizona. That's the one who ran for governor and lost very narrowly after several recounts in Arizona. So then I heard the governor of South Dakota known that she is a possible candidate as well. But Tim Scott, to me, would not be a bad choice at all. He's a very likable person. Everybody who's dealt with him likes him. He also will help, and I'm saying with the African-American community, not because he's black, but because Tim Scott, I don't know if you guys remember, he co-authored the Black Platinum Plan for economic development and business development for blacks. And he also co-authored the bill that got all the black people who were in jail for nonviolent drug crimes. He co-authored those and sponsored that bill with Donald Trump to get these to get black people freed from jail and to get them the economic development. So I think it'll be an awesome choice.
Right.
And that'll take away even more of the black vote from Joe Biden, which he can't stand to lose any more black support right now.
Why do you say that?
Because he's already losing black support. I think we were talking earlier. Remember, I was telling you that Donald Trump right now, especially mostly upon black males, not black females, but black males, he's polling higher than any other Republican president ever. And as Don said earlier, the black people are the ones who got Joe Biden elected, especially the black people in South Carolina. He's losing black support, especially not only that, but also because of the migrant crisis as well, the immigrant crisis. So he can't afford right now to lose any more of the black support.
All right. Well, you've been listening to The Man's Voice, and although a lot of the panelists weren't here today, the show was really good. And you will want to come back again next week to hear what we're talking about again. So we'll be here again next Sunday at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for The Man's Voice. And you can always call in and talk on the show also. So I'd like to tell the panelists, have a great week, guys, and everyone out there also. Stay warm. Have a great week.
Okay, thank you, David.
All right.
Go Lions!
Have a good... Yeah, we're going to watch the Lions win today. Have a good one, David.
You too.
Don, God bless, brother. Thank you.